We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
We do have some Guardians talk coming your way. Destin's very excited. He wanted to do it here. I was like, I know you're the baseball guy. We'll get to it, okay? Don't worry about it.
You promise?
And I think in this case, usually you and I see eye to eye on a lot of things. I think we actually are going to have a disagreement on the Guardians. Almost happened at the beginning of the show, but you didn't take the bait, which is good. Every once in a while, I will try and slippery wizard you. I will try and slide something across the bow just to see if you take the bait. And I think in that moment, you weren't paying attention.
That's a good assessment, I think.
So would you say we're on Guardians Debate Watch?
I would say we're on Guardians Debate Watch. No, Keith, warning.
I think this is a Guardian warning.
This is a Guardians Debate warning? Why would you say that as opposed to a watch?
Well, because this is an emergency.
Okay. You think there's a Guardians?
I think people got to be on the lookout.
That's...
But a watch is definitely not as severe. I know that. I've known that since I was a child. I have.
I don't think Jax is ever going to recover from that strike from earlier.
He keeps playing it.
He does. Well, because Keith keeps pointing
at him. I'm telling him to.
Yeah, he doesn't really have a choice in the matter.
Keith got a gun over there?
I would say he's got two guns.
Got two of them.
Yeah, not great. Not great that we made that joke at the same time. When you think of, we've talked a lot about trust today.
We did trust falls.
We did.
During the break.
Yeah. And you almost caught me that time.
You squished me.
Yeah. You liked it. So we've talked a lot about trust.
We didn't want to go off the air there.
Who do you think has the most from the Cavs side of things? Who do you think has the most to win and lose in this first round matchup?
I'm thinking Donovan.
Okay, yeah, I actually really like that because I feel like we've gotten to the point with. I'm not saying we in Cleveland. I think in the NBA, and this was highlighted by Fedor's article where Donovan was like, "Yeah, you get graded on conference championships and titles." And so he's aware of it. I think every time Donovan steps on the court, in the playoffs at least, until that guy gets to an Eastern Conference Finals or to a Conference Finals or until he wins an NBA title, he's going to be the guy that people say, yeah, he's a great regular season player. He's a great scorer, but ... And this is one of those things where I think losing to the Knicks was actually pretty okay, even though he was up and down in that series, because I think a lot of people on the national level gave the Knicks a lot of chance in that series. I think losing to a team who was not in the playoffs and hasn't been for a while, I think that's the kind of thing that would seriously harm your reputation.
If you lose to this team in really any capacity, I do feel like this is going to be a complete letdown, a disaster, and almost everybody's getting fired.
You know, it's funny you say that. The two generalities we hear about the Cavs going into this series are, if you lose, there's going to be massive changes. And the other one is getting past this series is a sign of progress. And I think that's fascinating. I think it's so interesting that we've gotten to a point where the stakes are that high. Admittedly, if I had told you a year ago, you make one trip to the second round. Sorry, 2 years ago when you make the Donovan trade. You're going to go to the second round the second year in with Donovan. And the first year, you're going to get bounced out in a gentleman's sweep in the first round. Given what they gave up for him, would you look at that and say that's a success?
No.
I don't think anyone would.
No.
And so it does feel like there are
We're going to look back on all this stuff and be like, man, was it really worth the trade? You know, how would this team been with Markkanen and Sexton?
So it's funny you say that, because I think there's one more part of that we haven't actually talked about, which is if Donovan does want to be traded, what would you get for him? Because if you got, I mean, if you basically got everything or more that you gave up for him, then the trade was really just you kind of bought time and just swapped around assets. Like Houston, Keith, you were telling me, who did we have on while I was gone that said Houston would make sense for Donovan?
Well, I think Jared Greenberg brought it up as a team that would probably approach him.
Yeah, like that's a team, like if you were to get Jabari Parker, who was a former first-round pick, Cam Whitmore, and a bunch of firsts. It's a kind of thing you've probably delayed being a true threat in the Eastern Conference, but those are two really good basketball players, and you recoup your first-rounders. And you could probably get another player or two in there. But, like, that to me is – I'm not concerned about the Donovan move being a failure. The only way it's a failure to me is if he just leaves in free agency and you don't get anything for him. But if you're able to turn around or trade him, okay, is it what I want? No. I want Donovan to be here, and I want Donovan to be given a lot of love on the national stage. That's all. Because here's the thing. Like, I've gone from thinking Donovan's a great basketball player who I really like watching in Utah, who maybe, all right, why didn't work out in Utah? Okay, did they really have a second player capable of being as good as Donovan? That kind of stuff. To now watching him and thinking, oh my God, he's spectacular. I knew he was a great basketball player, but when he is on more often than not. Like, I almost hate saying that, because the reality is he's been on pretty much since he's been in Cleveland. There's been one or two bad games here or there, and unfortunately they came in the playoffs last year. But, like, there's so much of me that's rooting for Donovan, not just even as a Cavs fan, just as a Donovan fan. But you can't deny that if he loses, or if he doesn't make the conference finals this year, or if the Cavs win in the first round but get, you know, another gentleman sweep in the second round, all those same narratives are being against him. Can I tell you one more?
You can.
Because I don't think it's Darius. I don't think Darius has that much pressure on him. I don't think Darius will be the guy that goes. I think I think they all have pressure on them in that they're in the NBA and the NBA brings a lot of pressure. I don't think there's pressure on Jarrett. A winning team's always going to have a spot for Jarrett if you don't. I don't think the pressure's on Evan. He's 23, for God's sake. I think the pressure's on JB. And there's different pressure.
What about Kobe?
I think Kobe has played all of this masterfully to make sure he survives if this thing doesn't go his way this year, or go their way this year. Now, if they got swept, maybe not. But I think it, and I don't mean this in a bad way, I don't think Dan is the same guy that he was, who thought GMs were interchangeable, or who had no problem firing a head coach and paying three head coaches at once. I think Dan has changed a little bit. I think Dan has been very, this is going to sound like I'm saying bad things. I don't mean it about Dan Gilbert. But I think he's also very content with what his Cavaliers have accomplished post-LeBron. And so I don't know that he'll feel the need to make those wholesale sweeping. I think it only cost JB and Kobe their jobs if you really got embarrassed in the playoffs. But for JB,
what's embarrassing? Like, gentlemen sweep?
Yeah, honestly, I think anything under six games is embarrassing. And even six games. Like, losing in six games to Orlando would be embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
They just were on nobody's radar 70 games ago. Nobody thought they were going to be a top five seed 82 games ago. So if they go from that to beating you in the first round, like, let me put it this way. It's going to be seen as a Cavs collapse if you lose. Very few people are going to say, oh, Orlando beat you. Do you agree with that?
I do.
And by the way, I don't just mean locally. I mean nationally. I know that there are a lot of people who like Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner and Jalen Suggs. They like a lot of, maybe some of them even like Mo Wagner. I don't know. But, like, there's no way that this is with the Knicks. You could spin that as, well, the Knicks were slept on, and the Knicks were a grittier team stylistically. The Cavs didn't have the depth. Oh, you could sell everything that the national media sold, because remember, the national media had very few criticisms of the Cavs, despite the Cavs being the favorites. And going into that series, the perception was you had the best player in Donovan Mitchell. You can't sell this one. There's no spin on this that makes the Cavs look good. And that starts with Donovan. I think it really goes to JB next. And I don't mean this. This is not just me bringing back JB to kind of, you know, smack him around like a pinata. But, like, this series will determine, at least for now, whether he is the Cavs head coach going forward. And if they don't, honestly, I'll be apoplectic. If you were to lose this series, after losing the Knicks series, after seeing how uneven your season was, if you still think the Cavs organization still thinks they need to see more, I would find myself questioning whether they have any desire to truly win ever at any point. Or whether
really?
Content, yeah, yeah, it's time. It's time to win. It's time to fulfill the destiny that you set forth when you traded for Donovan. And if it doesn't happen this year, it doesn't mean the thing's an unmitigated failure, although people will talk like that. But every season that you go without going deeper into the playoffs or going to the second round or third round of the playoffs, every season more than it takes to get there, the tougher it is to really believe in this organization's ability to become a winner without LeBron. And I would imagine, like, that is what's surprising of me to Dan, is that that doesn't matter more to Dan. Not out of spite, but out of his own legacy's sake.
I think it matters to him. I think he's just allowed the folks that are in power to make these decisions. And then, honestly, I think Dan was, you know, happy with the moves, happy with the team, you know, winning all these games in the regular season and going on these runs like they did back in February. You know, Dan Gilbert's sitting around watching the team probably thinking, yeah, we have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And then things have just fallen apart a little bit.
I violated one of your biggest travel pet peeves, my friend.
Well, there's a lot. So we got to figure out where we're at with what your violation was.
Well, I felt so good about it because on the flight down to Jamaica, in our layover, which that one was in Newark, I had the aisle seat and I saw all these people stand up as soon as the plane, parked. And I sent you the picture of, look at these bastards. I felt so good about that flex. And then I had to come home from Jamaica, mm-hmm. which was as easy and fun as going to Jamaica was. Coming home from Jamaica felt just this side of waterboarding.
Is brutal.
Well, one, the Jamaican airport, the Montego Bay airport does not have
amenities,
good air conditioning. And so
I'm surprised it's not outdoors.
It might as well have been.
There are some airports in the Caribbean, I believe, that have, they're just like, there's no walls.
It would have been better.
Yeah.
So what happened is there wasn't a lot of light. The air was kind of stale. I don't know does that make sense? Like where it just was like stuffy and kind of.
It does.
Again, it wasn't hot, but it was just really uncomfortable. Also, while we were there, the amenities they did have, they had like an internet problem. So like your boy couldn't get like a Starbucks to like settle down and like get some caffeine in his system. Still relatively early in the day. That's not really where it went the worst. There were a couple points after this. But we got on the plane because our layover was in D.C. And from the layover from Newark down, it was me, Ness, and like 20 other people in a big plane. This was not the case going back. And it was about that time that I found that Vanessa and I had seats because everybody's stuff got disrupted because they overbooked the flight.
Perfect.
And our flights went from the economy or the economy room for leg
economy
space
plus, yeah.
Yeah, to the very last seats on the plane, like in that last row where they even take an extra 3 inches out in between seats. And Dude, I'm telling you, it was the plane ride from hell. I was at one, it was hotter than hell. The air conditioning also wasn't working on the plane. And then I got hit by everybody walking by me. My knees were pressed into the dash. I was so miserable. So when we landed in Dulles, in D.C., I was the first person out of my chair. And I will not apologize for
Why
one bit.
Why did you stand up during the flight?
I did a couple times, but being is that I'm a large fellow, they do not like when large fellows stand in the aisle because we take up a lot more space than normal people. But dude, I stood up and I'm sorry. I think I found the scenario where it's okay. If you're a large person, tall person, big person, I'm both, crammed at the back of the airplane, you've literally had I felt like I wrestled Randy Macho Man Savage for like three nights at the Garden back in 1989 because I just got hit by the cart about 12 times. And by the way, I cleared the cart. It's just they couldn't steer the thing. And then I got, there was a dude who got the look, man. He was the guy that sprints up and down the aisles to go to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. He doesn't, like, walk. So there was a little girl three rows ahead of us, and she was a really sweet little kid. And her arm was out in the aisle. Dude almost ran into her, and I was so enraged. He almost maimed this child. Vanessa was like, Nick, you've got your murder look on. And I did. That's not even. I looked like I was going to murder him, and he walked very slowly back to his seat. This is the scenario. I got the crap kicked out of me in this chair. I am a large man stuffed into the smallest seat. I got bumped. We got all this stuff going on. I think that's okay if you stand up first, because you cannot possibly sit for one more second in that environment.
I mean, listen, if you can sleep at night.
See, this is the brotherhood here. Okay, I need you to get on my level, and I need you to understand that your policy is generally on. It's tough to top. In this case,
we live in a society, you know, right?
Yeah, we do. And when societal rules break down, it is okay to yourself lower your standard, lower your ethics, and in a moment, be less than who you want to be. Be who you can be in that moment.
Hey, listen, I feel you. Like I said, I mean, that's on you. You know, you got to live with that. You're a big boy. You make decisions. It's not one I would have made.
What would you have done in that scenario?
Sat there?
Oh, I'm no. I don't buy that.
Patience is a virtue.
You are the least patient person I know.
I am on a plane.
So you become Buddha on a plane?
I do.
You become Sun Tzu?
And, you know, here's the thing now. It's all about accountability
uh-huh.
for me, especially because I travel out of Cleveland, you know, every weekend in the fall.
Yeah.
And I know there are people probably on the plane that maybe listen to the show or follow on social media and know my pet peeves. And so I hold myself to a high standard. So I'm not going to be standing up.
I am now.
How can I be a leader of people if I don't follow my own rules?
I'm gonna find if you've ever violated, and now I'm gonna steal your phone one of these days. I'm gonna get all your contacts. I'm just gonna start sending. I'm gonna find out a time. I'm gonna send messages, mass emails. There has been a time in your life you've stood up.
The only time I would ever do it is if it's a situation where I feel the need that I have to block somebody. The a-hole that's trying to get off the plane to get the connecting flight. And you know what? I always have a connecting flight. And you know what I don't do? Try to get off the plane first.
So this might make you proud. On the flight home, the flight from DC to Cleveland, we had a couple people who Vanessa was like literally trying to get up.
Yeah.
And she slipped, and a dude used that to walk right by her. Well,
people try to be super sly on these planes.
Well, homeboy forgot something near the back of the plane. Had to come back as I was getting out. Oops, sorry about that elbow.
Yeah. Oh.
He was.
I don't know about violence, Nick, but.
Oh, I do. I do. He's lucky he only got an elbow to the chest.
I mean, I'm not going to elbow someone, but I'm certainly going to give him a hard stick the. Well.
What are they
you guys are going to just wear that out, aren't you? Yeah. That's what you guys are going to do.
What are we going to do?
No, I'll give them. I'm just here for everyone's entertainment. That's what it is at this point.
You were just going to town on the idea of me being a bad person. You couldn't stop yourself.
It doesn't make you a bad person. There's worse things in the world that make you a bad person.
Like the elbow.
Well, the elbow, that's I'll allow it.
Yeah, it crossed my wife. You don't do that.
I stick my ass out. I mean, how old are we here?
216-474-0001.
I stick my ass out in the aisle if someone's trying to get by.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Do you stick your ass out?
I'm an aisle blocker.
You're an aisle blocker.
If I have to be. I don't like to be. I really do like to sit there patient and calm. You know what I even do? I typically let the people in the row across from me go first.
Yeah, I've done that too.
Done that? I do it all the time.
Wow. Screw you.
I really like to show patience. It's a challenge. It is at times, but I think it's a really good lesson.
You are so boxing me right now.
I'm going to give you some Odyssey points for that.
5?
Jeff Miller sent me 5 the other day.
Are you going to give him 10 Odyssey points? I think 10 full Odyssey points are in.
I'm going to go with the odd number. I'm giving you like 11.
Wouldn't it be just give him 1 Odyssey point?
I'm still 95 points away from getting a water bottle.